God is the great I am. He is here with us. He has a plan for us. He has a place for us. If we will accept Him and open Him, open our hearts to Him, we can have that place that He wants for us. We can be part of the family of God. We don't have to be estranged. We don't have to be foreigners or aliens. We can be part of His family. And it's such an important, as far as our life is concerned, as far as our eternity is concerned, He makes that kind of a difference. He changes our lives. And so the importance of the foundation, last Sunday, today, and then two more weeks, of the importance of the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Christ is our foundation. As we do so, we need to have Him as part of, to become part of the family of God. And I invite you to turn to Ephesians. We'll back on Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verse 19 to 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Last Sunday was verse 19. Today is verse 20. And then next Sunday is 21. And then following Sunday is 22. We want to pray that you would take this seriously. Let God be a part of your foundation for your life. Let God be a foundation for your life. Ephesians chapter 2, starting from verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. We talked about what it feels like to be a foreigner and alien last week, and how we are estranged from God. And when we're estranged from God Himself, that deep, gnawing chasm of that sense of estrangement, of being separated or isolated or alone, isn't resolved or isn't solved because of human relationships. A lot of times we go looking for a girlfriend or a boyfriend or friends to fill the gap of that deep, gnawing chasm in our hearts, in our souls, actually, that can only be filled by the presence of God. We put undue stress on our relationships, on our family members, to fill that gnawing gap in our hearts and souls. But really, it's there because we're foreigners and aliens from God. And only by receiving Christ into our lives, by letting Christ come in and fill us, and that gnawing chasm can be filled only by God, only by the presence of God and God Himself. And so that's why it's so critical that God is a part of our foundation. If you want to have a healthy family, if you want to have healthy relationships, we must have God. Amen? Otherwise, we put undue pressure on our relationships to fill that gap in our hearts. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens. I can't preach hard enough or long enough or deep enough to emphasize how important it is that we no longer be a foreigner or an alien. And we entered this world as that, but God provides a solution for us. Let's go on. But fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. So today I'm going to talk about verse 20, and that reads, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. With Christ Jesus Himself, the chief cornerstone. So previous comments added even more bad news in Ephesians 2, chapter 12. Separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Not only are we foreign and alien to the redeemed community, but estranged from God, and no way to change that. Such stuck as a foreigner and an alien, and really no hope to ever change that condition. It's a terrible situation to be estranged from God. Terrible situation to be estranged from God. Estranged from God's family, and no way to become part of it. It's a terrible situation. Especially the part about not being able to do anything about it. It's a terrible situation. No forgiveness of sins, no hope for God's help in this life, no hope for life after. Hopeless. Nothing they could do can change their spiritual condition. Beloved, the sense of estrangement is first a spiritual condition. Let that sink in. The sense of estrangement is first a spiritual condition. And so we can stop blaming our parents. We can stop blaming our brothers and sisters. We can stop blaming our whoever we might blame. We can stop blaming those friends of ours who weren't such good friends at critical times in our lives. Have you ever had those experiences? I have. I guess I'm the only one. Okay. We can quit blaming them because that sense of estrangement and isolation is first a spiritual condition. And God comes in to resolve that and respond to us. But now Christ, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Let that sink in. We're not left to our spiritual condition. You have been brought near through the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. And that's why we have to have him in our foundation. He himself is our peace. If we don't have Christ in our foundation, we're going to continue to wrestle with and grapple with and hurt from that sense of estrangement. He who has destroyed the barrier, that dividing wall. Jesus saw our predicament. He realized how bad off we were, foreigners and aliens, and with no hope, and he did something about it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He did something about it. He changed it. He's the only one who could, and he did something about it. God, who is spirit, the spiritual, came for us to remove that estrangement. And so today, how to be a citizen of the family of God. How to be a citizen of the family of God. And so Ephesians 2:20 says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Cornerstone sets the foundation. The cornerstone determines the angle and direction of building. We don't see that too often here in our culture because we use stucco. But it would have been visually graphic to the people that were reading this, because when you go to Israel, every building there is stone. Every building there is stone. And it's beautifully cut stone. You can't really, you can think, how do they do that? Because it's, you know, it's straight and all that kind of stuff. And it's not cheap, or, you know, it's really beautifully. So when he says stone, it would have been visually graphic. For us, it's foundation. But when he says stone, they would immediately realize what he was talking about. Because the cornerstone, when you put the cornerstone first in the foundation, then you line up everything else with it. And it goes this way, that. And you have to pick a kind of stone that, first of all, it won't break. Because it's going to kind of hold up the whole foundation. The whole foundation is going to be attached to it. If that breaks, the whole foundation will eventually start to crumble as it goes around, like kind of a domino effect. Also, the foundation stone, the cornerstone, you have to set it. You have to pre-plan it, because this is the way I want the building to go, this way, and I want the building to go this way. And so it's got to be exactly, no, that's the wrong angle. Move it over a little bit. Okay, there. Okay, now set it down. It's got to be at the right angle, at the right place, because everything else after that cornerstone gets built in that way or this way. See, it sets the direction for the building. We run into so many problems because our family lives are so messed up, and we're going in the wrong direction. We're fighting and having conflicts and arguments all the time because the cornerstone has been set in the wrong direction in our lives. That whichever is the cornerstone of our lives is not set in the direction that we want it to go. It's set off kilter. And so our family lives go off in this direction when really we want it to go this direction, but the cornerstone is set poorly. Either that or we don't have a cornerstone. And it's set poorly. But if you want your family life to get turned around, you got to reset that cornerstone. Make sure it's in the right direction. Because the cornerstone holds up, it's got to be strong, but it's also got to be in the right direction, the right angle. Because everything after that follows that angle, follows that direction. You understand? And if that's not set correctly, we're going to have problems the rest of our lives. All of our lives. Message of the New Testament prophets, apostles, and the Old Testament prophets, and even Christ himself, how to become part of the family of God. How to have Christ in our cornerstone. If your cornerstone needs repair, this is how to do it. If you need to set a cornerstone, this is how to do it. Okay. The usual way a person is a citizen of a country is because they're born into it. Right? So if your parents were American citizens, U.S. citizens, and you were born you're a U.S. citizen. Either that, or you can come to the United States, even if you're not a U.S. citizen, you can come to the United States, and if you're born here on the property of the United States, then you're born a U.S. citizen. There's a lot of stuff in the news about how people come to the United States just to have their babies born here so that the babies will have U.S. citizenship. We've read some of those, and people are starting to crack down on that. But if you're not born in the United States, then how do you become a citizen of the United States? Well, our country and many other countries have made it possible for people who aren't born in the United States or born to a citizen in the United States to become a citizen of the United States. Thank goodness, because a lot of people come here to become citizens of the United States. And it's called naturalization. You can become a naturalized citizen, which is good news. Some people, even here in this chapel, you are a citizen of the United States because you're a naturalized citizen. You weren't born here, and your parents weren't U.S. citizens, but you came, you took the test, you studied, and it's really kind of a fun thing. I went one time, and there's about 5,000 people, and they're all getting these little flags, right? And you sit there, and the judge, right? Judge? Is it a judge? I think it's a judge. You know, he gets up there and says something, and gives a little speech and a little pep talk, and then everybody stands up, raises their right hand, and and you're a U.S. citizen. Everybody's waving their flag. It's really a cheery situation, man. People are really happy to do that. It's really kind of fun. And everybody who's watching, the family members and friends, were all applauding. Yeah, you know, it's really kind of fun. But it can be done. You can become a citizen. It's similar to the spiritual community. Now, that message to the Jewish community would have been horrendous. You mean non-Jews can be Jews? You mean all those Gentiles out there can be Jews? They can be part of the favored community? How's that possible? Jesus said, you must be born again. Born again. Now, he said that to a man who was very wise and who was very curious, a man named Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And he says, and Nicodemus said, man, are you talking sense here? You can't be born again. Well, of course not. In the flesh, you can't be born again. He says, how is that even possible? You expect a person to go back into his mother's womb and come out again? You know, I mean, he was being facetious, but, you know, that's the impossibility of it. How can you do that? But Jesus was talking about a spiritual rebirth. A spiritual rebirth. The Spirit gives birth to spirit. I'm sure Nicodemus is still scratching his head. Okay, what is that? How is that relevant? We're already born once in the flesh. Do you know that everyone here has already been born once in the flesh? That's astounding, isn't it? I mean, yeah. But a second birth is needed by the Spirit. That's the born-again process. You can be born again by the Spirit. A new spirit was to be birthed in the one because they sought Christ and gave their lives to him. And so a new identity or a new nationality is given to one who comes to our country because they embrace the values and the mores and the Constitution of the United States. So they become, instead of a citizen of the country where they were born at, they become a person and a citizen of the country of the United States because they've embraced the values and the mores and the Constitution of the United States. Well, it's the same thing. Even though they weren't born here, there is an intermental ascent to become a citizen of the United States. The same kind of thing. Though we're not born in God, we're born of the flesh, yes, but we become part of the Spirit of Christ when we embrace the person and the message of Christ and choose Christ instead of where we were. And that spirit birth, being born again, would bring that person into God's kingdom and into God's family. Beloved, this is so important. And you know why? This is so important because that which unites the family of God is not our behavior. It's not our common values. It's not our beliefs. But we're united because we've been born again. It's not because we all dress alike. In fact, we don't all dress alike. It's not because we look a certain way, because we don't look a certain way all the same. We don't. And that's okay. Doesn't matter if we come every Sunday, Doesn't matter if we sit there and we know what to do when, during the worship service. It doesn't matter if we know how to talk church. There is a church talk, you know. You know, have you ever heard yourself talking and then you go outside and you talk to, and you don't use the same kind of wording? You know, like, bless her heart, you know. You ever say bless her heart to people outside the church? Not very often. I was talking to one person one time and they said, do that to them unto. I said, unto? You know, only church people say unto, you know, because it comes right out of the Bible. You know, normal, not normal, but, you know, people outside there don't say, we're going to go unto them. You know, that's church talk. We know how to talk church. And so when we're in church, we talk church. Because, oh, that person, yeah, we're brothers. No, we're not. We just know how to mimic Christians. Beloved, you must be born again. You're already born in the flesh, but you must be born of the Spirit. In 1 Peter, he says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. And Jesus went through extraordinary means to make the born again a possibility. Extraordinary means to make that born again a possibility. It took his suffering and his death and his resurrection, but he conquered sin and he conquered death so that we could be born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to that person next to you and say, Jesus died for you. Because he did. Because he did. And so first, the usual way a person is a citizen of a country is because they're born into it. Secondly, the usual way a person becomes a family member, I'm talking about a biological family, is by birth into that family. That's the usual way, right? You have a baby. Oh, our family is growing because we've had a baby. I'm a Miabi because I was born from my parents. I have a birth certificate to prove it. So that makes me a Miabi. I'm not anybody else's name. I'm a Miabi because I was born to Miabes. But it's also possible for a person to be part of a family even if they're not born into that family. It's called adoption. Right? And that's the same spiritually. We become a part of God's family by adoption. Because of sin and sin nature, none of us were born or holy or divine. At least the last time I looked. Well, Jason's close, right? Jason's pretty close. Yeah. He tells interesting jokes and stories. But the last time I looked, none of us were holy or divine. Unless I missed something. Did I miss any of you? Any of you want to contest that with me? You better not. None of us were. That boyfriend might call you an angel, or he might call you heavenly. But I'm sorry, you're not. But you can be. Through Jesus. And if Jesus calls you heavenly, it's a whole lot better than if a boyfriend calls you heavenly. A whole lot better. And we can become heavenly by being adopted into God's family. That's why Galatians chapter 4, Paul says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. You know, we're talking about adoption, beloved. That when we're adopted, it's just as if we were born in that family. Completely. The law sees us as a children of that family, sons or daughters of that family. There's no asterisk, you know. Well, when they die, they don't get the inheritance because they were only adopted. No, there's no asterisk. You get fully the rights of citizenship in the kingdom. Because you are sons, and we need to add, and daughters. God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. We're born again. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. So you are no longer a slave. You're no longer a foreigner or an alien, but a son. And since you are a son or a daughter, God has made you also an heir. And so we reap the benefits of the Father. Eternal life. His presence with us all our lives here on this earth. His presence with us. John 1:12 says, all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have an inheritance worth claiming. We didn't deserve. We weren't born into. But God, Christ gives us inheritance beyond what we were born into. At the foundation of being part of God's family is Christ. Is Jesus Christ. He is absolutely critical to our becoming a child of God. And that's why he is the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone. The cornerstone was tested and proved. Jesus was tested and proven. He suffered and died, but more importantly, he was resurrected. He was resurrected. Beloved, every other faith, there's a grave of its founder. But there's no grave that holds Christ. He lives. He lives. You know why that's so important? Because death cannot beget life. Life creates life. Amen? Life creates life. Principles don't create life. Values don't create life. Thoughts and ideologies don't create life. Life creates life. In every other faith, there's a death. Death cannot create life. That's why Christ is so important. That's why his resurrection is important, so important. And so the follow-up is this. Christ lives for you. Turn to that person and say, that same person you told them Christ died for you, and tell them Christ lives for you. My question to you today is this. Is Christ in your foundation? Is Christ in your foundation? I'm not asking you if you come to church. I'm not asking you if you read the Bible. I'm not asking you if you're a good person. I'm asking you, is Christ in your foundation? This year, the family of God will help you understand to be part of God's family. Help you understand and contribute to building your family God's way. For both, we need to have that supernatural divine insight, the attitude and power of the Savior, the living Savior, helping us. Beloved, if Jesus is not in your foundation, you will try to glean tips this year, but it will only frustrate you because we all need God's help to build our family God's way. It will only create frustration. That's what it means when it says the law was built to create frustration. Because the law only shows us what we can't reach. And so if you take all the tips we bring to you to help build your family, it's going to just make you frustrated because you realize you can't live that way. It's too high a calling to live that way. It takes Christ to be able to live that way. Christ is our foundation. And so we ask the question, is Jesus your cornerstone? If he is, then you are a member of God's family. Hallelujah. And you have the power and the insight and the instruction on how to live God's way. And you can build your nuclear family that way. You're a child of God. Beloved, if you're not, if Christ is not in your foundation, then you're on shaking ground. First of all, you're not part of his family. And you're only going to frustrate yourself as you try to build your family. Today, you can have Jesus in your foundation by asking him to be the cornerstone of your life, to come into your heart. I'm going to give you that opportunity. You can do it anytime, but today I'm going to give you an opportunity to do so. And the prayer is very simple. It's simply an honest prayer. You don't even have to say it out loud because Jesus can read your mind. Isn't that kind of scary? Jesus can read your mind. But in this situation, thank God that he can. Because we need simply to pray, "Dear Jesus, I've got some regrets in my life. I really do. I made some errors. I made some mistakes. The Bible calls it sin. But yes, I've made some. I never really opened my life to you, and I've only been on the fringes of this church stuff, your church thing. Jesus, I ask that you forgive me of all those regrets. The unintentional ones and the intentional ones." You know, when we say that, he actually does come and forgive us. Praise the Lord is right. Praise the Lord. And the last part of prayer is, I invite you to come into my life. Become my God and Savior. Let's pray, shall we? If you want to pray that prayer this morning because you realize that Christ is not in your cornerstone, that Christ is not in your foundation, I just want to give you an opportunity to pray that prayer this morning. You don't even have to say it out loud. Jesus does ask that you mean it. And you can use your own words, but something in the vein of, "Dear Jesus, I have lots of regrets in my life. Unintentional mistakes and some intentional errors, sins. I ask that you forgive me of all those regrets.